The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She'll bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. So a week from today will be Christmas. The success of the party depends upon the preparation before the party. So we should all make a real effort in this week to prepare ourselves for the greatest birthday. The greatest birthday in the world, which is the birthday of Jesus Christ. Among the many things that the church offers us to prepare for the birth of Christ is the Word of God. Today we see the glorious person of Saint Joseph. Of all the saints in the Catholic Church, Saint Joseph is the greatest saint. And I would say by far, there's really even no comparison between Saint Joseph and the other saints. So much so that Dominican theologians give him a specific theological title that I'd like to explain to you. Our relationship with God is that of latria. Latria means the latriotic cult, as they say in theology, is we praise only God. And then Mary is hyperdulia. You know what that means? It means the highest veneration we give to Mary. The saints we give dulia. That means veneration. But there's a class in between dulia and hyperdulia. Guess who we give that to? And that is called protodulia. A little bit of theology this morning. Protodulia means he's the first in veneration, he's the first. What does proto mean? Saint Stephen was the proto-martyr. So the first in veneration is given to Saint Joseph. So much can be said about him. Saint Francis de Sales, as well as Saint Bernardine of Siena, two doctors of the church, using their theological mind, expressed the reason why Saint Joseph is the greatest saint. by means of what is called office. Office, or maybe you don't understand that word theologically, we could say vocation. Those who are married here, who have what is called the marriage vocation. If you're married in the church, I hope you are, then you are given what is called the grace of office or vocation to become a saintly father and husband, or wife and mother. That comes from the sacrament. I don't have that grace. I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. I don't have that grace, no? For example, some people come to me and say, how could you possibly be sitting in the confessional for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours? And I tell them, how could you possibly be in the house with screaming babies, no? I think 48 hours I would probably be in a loony asylum. Why? Because I don't have that grace. You married people, you have it. But to sit there in the confessional hour after hour, to get up and preach to people, to visit the sick and give them the anointing, that's natural for my supernatural vocation, if I can use that terminology. It's natural for me because I'm a priest. So I'm given the grace to be a holy priest, which I'm striving for every day. Pray for priests. But also, as you who are married, you have the grace of office or vocation to become a saintly father or spouse, a saintly mother or spouse. You have it. Now you can flaunt that grace, as most couples do. I'm not cynical, I'm just realistic. You can flaunt it. You can reject it. You can neglect it. You can. And that's up to you. And you'll be judged on that, okay? You'll be judged on that. Okay, let's move into St. Joseph. Do you recognize that St. Joseph had two of the greatest missions in the world after Jesus and Mary, but his mission was related to Jesus and Mary, which were? St. Joseph was the husband of Mary. Does that blow your mind? Can you imagine that? St. Joseph was the husband of Mary. And were you listening to the gospel today? Who gave the name of that child? It wasn't Mary, it was who? He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. That's huge. You know, giving the name to someone, you name your children, that's very important. You're going to be stuck with your name your whole life, right? So St. Joseph, the fact that he's giving the name to Jesus, not Mary, even though the Archangel Gabriel told Mary what the name was going to be, shows a real power. So St. Joseph was the husband of Mary. St. Joseph and Mary were inspired to have a virginal marriage. That has to be understood. That's the passage today. They both were inspired by the Holy Spirit to have a marriage without relations. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And both of them were going to be faithful to that commitment. And that shows a great purity of St. Joseph in his eyes, in his mind, in his emotions, in his heart, in his body. Those who struggle with purity should run to St. Joseph. Mary too, of course, but St. Joseph. Why does he have a... Sometimes you see him with a flower or a lily in his hand. That represents what? The virtue of purity. But he had offers that went even beyond that. St. Joseph was the father of Jesus Christ. Can you tell me a more sublime office than that? Aside from Jesus and Mary, there's nothing greater than that. Nothing even close to that. So given that St. Joseph was given such a sublime double vocation, and I say sublime because I can't find any better word in English. Give it to me if you can, no? Exalted, sublime, supreme. He was given such a high role that he was given corresponding graces. Now, you people, do you love Jesus? Not that much? Poco o mucho? Okay. Do you love Mary? Okay, now, if you do not have a devotion to St. Joseph, your love for Jesus and Mary is limited. I got to be blunt with you. I'll say that again. If you do not have a devotion to St. Joseph, your relationship with Jesus and Mary is going to be limited. So if you want to grow in your devotion to Mary and Jesus, you have to make a concerted effort to get to know St. Joseph and to pray to him and to consecrate yourself to him. St. Joseph is a great saint. Some of you have heard of St. Teresa of Avila. Have you? If you read through her La Vida, the life, you got two chapters of St. Teresa, the greatest writer on prayer in the Catholic Church. St. Teresa of Avila, they pronounced her dead. They put wax over her eyes. Maybe some of you saw the movie. They put wax over her eyes. She was already pronounced dead. Who does she attribute her recovery of health to? San Jose. Did you know, by the way, San Jose is the same person as St. Joseph? It's just Spanish, huh? It was St. Joseph's intercession that brought her back to life. Not that she was dead. She was almost dead, though. They thought she was dead. And who did she name all of her convents in Madrid, in Barcelona, in Salamanca? Who did she name her convents after? San Jose. All the convents. The Reformed Carmelite Order. If you go to Spain, next time you go to Spain, and you visit those convents, they all have the name Convent of San Jose. And St. Teresa of Avila says, you go to the saints to ask for something, and sometimes they delay. You know, I'm not going to say they drag their feet, but they delay. But St. Joseph is quick, like that. I'll give you an example. When I was 20 years old, I was given came back from college and I had a job to pay for my books. And I don't know how it happened, but I got a job in a laundromat. And the owner of the laundromat thought, oh, this guy, he's going to Villanova. He's a very intelligent university student. I'll train him for a week, then I'll be able to go on vacation. After a week, I couldn't understand anything there. Using this machine and using that machine and this. So after a week, he told me to get my hat and take a hike and not come back anymore. Okay? So I was fired. And when I was fired, I was really feeling in desolation because I had to make some money to pay for my books. That was a deal that my father made. I'll pay for the tuition, you got to pay for the books. And if you're an English major, you know, a Shakespeare anthology of Shakespeare, mucho dinero, very expensive. So I was driving home on a bike, and I stopped in the church, St. Church in Maynard, Massachusetts, and I went in front of St. Joseph, and I said, St. Joseph, hey, look, you know, I've got to find work. So I was driving back, and there was a restaurant. I thought, well, I'll apply for a work in this restaurant. So I entered in, and I filled in the application. Earlier that day, someone had called in sick. And before I finished the application, the manager there said, young man, would you like to come and work this evening? So I was given the job within 10 minutes. And I had a noble job of being a busboy. Amen, huh? But it was enough to pay for my books. So St. Joseph worked very, very quickly. And I wasn't fired either. Amen? So there are stories after stories about the power of the intercession of St. Joseph. So as we get ready for Christmas, hopefully this humble homily this morning is going to motivate to prepare yourself for Christmas by consecrating yourself to the great St. Joseph. Amen.